Hello and welcome to the hearing. I'm John.
And from Chicago's North Side, I am Scotto.
And before we get to this week's album, we've got some listeners submitted on the hearing. Rare, but it does happen now and then. Surprisingly, we have some listeners submitted from Bodo, a regular commenter, practically a third host on Zombie Takeout.
Honorary co-host. Yeah.
Bodo said, I love it. Duvet. Scotto with, is that a cover? Nice. Someone appreciated your reference or your joke.
And then I called it back the following week. Because who couldn't? Who wouldn't?
Right. And also on Twitter, Jasmine Rogers commented, and she quote tweeted last week's episode, saying, thanks, guys. Really enjoyed listening. Track listing noted. Some of your insights bang on.
Yeah, you kind of wonder when you like, it's why you always say, you know, when you have something to say, you better make sure you can back it up at least.
Yeah.
Need to be able to defend your position. That's, yeah, you know, as long as you can do that, I think you could be a critic of anything.
I have to admit, as a big fan of Jasmine's music, I put a little extra time into editing last week because I was hoping she'd listen. And also, I won't say I was being dishonest at all, but I was trying to be diplomatic. But you know, thank you, Jasmine. Glad you enjoyed it. Thank you for quote tweeting us and sharing the episode. And that brings us to this week's album, concluding our Rogers Family Quadrilogy with the 2012 debut solo album from Steve Rogers, self-titled debut solo album. Steve Rogers is an English singer-songwriter and guitarist, best known for being the lead guitarist and occasional vocalist for the alternative band Boa, and for being the son of legendary rock vocalist Paul Rogers. Incidentally, if you Google Jasmine Rogers, you know, the little drop-down that shows you on Google that you have the right person, you know, says singer-songwriter. For Steve, it just says Paul Rogers' son.
Oh.
Yeah. That's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Incidentally, while doing research for this album, I found out that Steve is exactly one day older than me.
Oh, really?
February 24th, 72. I'm February 25th, 72. Steve Rogers' self-titled debut solo album was released independently on November 28th, 2012, produced by Steve Rogers, and features... This gets difficult because I could not find a listing of players or any kind of real credits for it. Steve Rogers, vocals, guitar, I think piano, because he plays piano in the videos, in the one video he did. I don't know if he played bass and drums on it or if he got a rhythm section. There's a drummer in the 100 times video, so
okay,
I don't know. So on to the tracks. Reminder, I don't edit any songs into our reviews for copyright reasons, but on our blog at johnascotto.com, you'll find links to the album on Spotify and YouTube, so you can listen along if you'd like. On to track one, 100 Times. This again was the big single, the only video we made. I have to say right off the top, and I hate doing this to the first track and the single, this is my pick for weakest.
I understand. In fact, when you said this was the single, I was kind of surprised. Yeah. I was like, wait, really? This? This is not what I would use to sell this.
No. I do like the piano intro. It's got a nice vocal melody. He has found his own voice because, you know, on the two songs he sang for Boa, he's a dead ringer for his father.
I like the build with the piano on this. I think it goes, you know, I think it goes somewhere with it, but it just kind of stays in the same, you know, pocket sort of.
It just kind of builds nicely into the chorus. I do like the ascending piano part in the bridge. The counterpoint vocals near the end are good. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's almost like it was a first attempt.
It's probably my second favorite guitar playing on this. And you know, but yeah, I couldn't.
It seems like a B side.
Maybe not a B side. I see it as a soft intro to the album. Yeah. If the album were to have gotten, you know, heavier.
Right. On to track two, The River. This one's got a great groove. I like the guitar intro, really soulful vocal.
And yeah, I thought I was kind of worried. I think this is like the Boa album where I was kind of worried for the first 10, 20 seconds of the song. I'm like, he's not just going to do this for the whole album, is he? And then this kicked.
This one gets a little repetitive, but it didn't bother me this time. I liked the timing change in the middle and how it returns to the original groove at the end. That was a very nice touch. Just a nice, you know, bluesy track.
I like his wail, you know? His voice has such an interesting quality to it. And this one has a bridge, so, I mean, you're already up from the last track. it's a good one. I like this one.
On to track three, Haunted. This is my favorite. Love the intro and the vocal melody. I think this is where he sounds the most like his father. Like the harmonies on the chorus, nice cold stop. Just a really pretty song.
I mean, his father, though, is so much like a rougher sound, you know? Much more of a, you know, rasper, you know, than a singing, you know, singer. And I think he's a more traditional singer, not as, of course, as traditional as Jasmine.
Right.
But, you know, there's so many bends to his voice, and it's very interesting.
Yeah. I was just saying that this is the closest he gets on the record. For most of it, he really does have he's found his own voice. On to track four, Yesterday, not a Beatles cover. Have to give him credit for a guitar player. He writes some really nice piano parts.
Yeah.
The percussion kind of sounds electronic, which was a nice contrast. Strings are a nice change of pace. Really like the chorus melody.
This might be my pick for weakest, honestly, though. It's just a bit too adult contemporary pop for my tastes. And I think also the same problem that we had last week's album, where it just kind of runs. Have this right after Haunted was kind of like
a little repetitive. On to track five, Clouds. Nice rough sound on the guitars. It's all acoustic except for the last song, but they've just got this nice kind of... sounds like they didn't change the strings for like 2 months.
I fucking love this song, honestly. This is my pick for strongest, because it's like an acoustic version of a Postal Service song. It's crazy. And I just love the play. It is the best playing on the guitar, definitely. By far on this album.
I like how the timing gets a bit malleable, creates a nice loose feel. Nice nod to like early acoustic blues.
Yeah.
Where, you know, they would just throw an extra bar in here and there. Nice build of the second chorus. Really like the chorus melody and the lyrics.
Yeah.
On to track six, Sorrow. Again, nice groove, nice bluesy vocal. The groove develops nicely into the chorus. Love the bridge melody.
Yeah, at the beginning of it, I was kind of going, man, drums. When are we going to get some drums in this? And then, like, we do have drums when they kick in. It might not be a Phil Collins, you know, crash, but, you know, it'll do.
And then it strips nicely back down to the piano for the last verse, and then just nicely builds back up. And the last track, Sunshine. Great kind of off-kilter groove on this one. This is the rock song.
Yes.
It's got this nice Middle Easternish melody. And my electric... notes
say, he could have been doing this the whole fucking time. What the fuck?
he just saved it up for that big finale. It gets a little loud in the chorus. I love the additional percussion in the second verse. The instrumental break gets very Zeppelin. I was reading an interview. He said Zeppelin was like his first favorite band. So, you know, he had to pay a little homage to them.
I was thinking he was going for a very Chris Cornell thing here, but you're probably right. Robert Plant, you know, no quarter.
Incidentally, because we're barely at 10 minutes and I want to pad this a bit.
slowly. Like, come on, it's a 23-minute album, though. We can't make a 23-minute episode of a 23-minute album.
When we reviewed Twilight, I was wondering like why Bowen never got anywhere, you know, why, you know, given, you know, the connection of Paul Rogers. And I found out that after Get There, their second album, Steve left the band.
Oh.
He had been wanting to leave because he always saw himself as a solo artist, never really wanted to get, you know, stuck in with a band, wanted to do his own thing. So he left after the second album, hooked them up with another guitar player, like made sure they were, he was, his replacement was in place before he left. And cool. The other three decided they didn't want to go on without him. So they just split up the band.
Oh man. It's such a weird thing. I mean, cause really, I don't think music is a solo art, you know, it is definitely a collaborative thing.
It's more fun collaborative. Well, it can be fun either way. I've done this. I've done both. It's probably better, you know, with other input.
I mean, sure, there's solo artists. There's people that have the vision that you know, they need to paint stuff, you know, on their own. But it's just so much more interesting when you have a couple of, at least like two or three people with varying views and ideas, and either they clash or they blend.
Yeah. I mean, those have been, you know, the classics, you know, the Davies brothers getting in fights on stage.
Oh, right.
And, you know, you have the classic pair, songwriting pairs, you know, I don't even need to list them back.
Wallace and Gromit.
Plant and Page. That's what I was trying to say. I blanked on their names. We talked about them a minute ago. The two from the Beatles. Well, I'm completely blanking on
Abbott and Costello.
That's what
Abbott
I was.
And Costello.
Yeah. Waters and Gilmore. Lennon and McCartney. I could not pull those names out.
I was just letting you drown. I'm can't a see the life preserver anywhere and I couldn't pull around out Lennon here. And McCartney.
You know, the Toxic Twins. It's a classic. But
the Thompson Twins, you're right.
But at the same time, like, my favorite recording artist is Marianne Call. And I wouldn't exactly say she's an autocrat, but she writes everything and she wants it done her way.
Yeah.
And you know, that's great music too. But, you know, I love a lot of great bands. So, you know, Jethro Tull is Ian Anderson.
Yeah.
You know, he writes everything. So both approaches are good, have their strengths and weaknesses. But anyway, that's why Boa, you know, split up when they did, never really got anywhere because Steve decided he wanted to do a solo thing and the rest of the band didn't want to replace him.
If we were doing a talk radio thing, this would be a topic that would kill, I think. The, you know, single artist versus solitary artist versus the band. Yeah.
I don't know. And having done both as a musician, I've been in bands and I've put stuff out solo. They're both have their strengths and weaknesses. It's fun to play with other people. It's fun to collaborate, but it's also
until that person turns out to be a dick. Well, like we were talking off air last week about the Talking Heads.
our mutual friend Ruben and I have written quite a bit of music together. We've played in, you know, had a couple of bands there or projects. I won't say bands. It's fun to work with other people, but it's also it's fun to have the final say and, you know, to, in my case, do everything yourself.
Yeah.
that has its advantages. So, you know.
And you also think about bands that were famous, you know, for an era and then, you know, decades later, people still wanting that lineup to still like get together and do something together. Right. And they're just like, it's something we just did, like, instead of college, you know? Like, you're going to, like, get back produce something with people you went with in high school or college.
Well, and the classic is Deep Purple. You know, everybody loves the Mark IV. I know. Yeah. But that was, you know, 60s and 70s. And I think this is why I'm glad I never actually made it as a musician. People wanted really? Me to play. I honestly am. Yeah, I got time to tangent. It's kind of the whole point of this. There's a session guitarist named Tim Pierce, very successful session guy. He played on like Iris by the Goo Goo Dolls, Don't Dream It's Over. Been like a huge name since the 80s. He has a YouTube channel, and he was talking about like how his work, you know, breaks up in terms of his responsibilities. Playing guitar is about 20% of his job.
Okay.
Yeah. There's a lot more to it. And that was when I realized I'm kind of glad I never made it as a creative because I wouldn't be interested in all of the other stuff. But also, you know, the other reason I'm glad I never quite got there as a musician is, and I'm kind of forgetting why I started there.
Well, you know, I just can't imagine the thing, you know, if I had done something 20 years ago that was, you know, noteworthy, mm-hmm. having to do that same thing for 20 years. I don't know. I mean, it'd be awesome that mm-hmm. it happened, but I don't know if I could do it.
That's what I was going to say. When I first said, before you derailed me, when I first said I'm glad I didn't make it as a musician, I was thinking I wouldn't want to have to play songs that I recorded 20 years ago every night.
But yeah, there's shit that people want to hear from 50 years ago from these guys. Yeah, yeah. You know, they're old men. They're like right. nursing home. They should be in a nursing home, some of these people. You know, Phil Collins is like, you know, getting wheeled out to right. go around the world again to sing. Uh-huh. And people want to hear some of that shit from the early 70s. Right. They're expecting it.
Didn't Bowie have a rule where he wouldn't do anything, you know, that was older than a certain number of years?
No, because he brought stuff back.
Okay, there was somebody who had a rule like they didn't do their older material on tour. It was just, you know, they stuck to the more recent stuff. Because that would be such a pain in the ass to have to play like a song from decades ago. Especially me, because I hate my older stuff.
And think about it, if you're in a band and you didn't even write the song, the other guy in the band wrote the song, but that became a hit. Uh-huh. And you had to sing that song. Uh-huh. Even if you left the band, people would want to hear that song. Yeah.
Or if if the guy who left the band quit.
Yeah.
And you still have to do it.
And you know he's getting a royalty sitting home.
Yeah, exactly.
While you're still fucking slogging it out of the road. But, I mean, of course, you also have to think, this paid for my house or whatever divorce that I went through. So it evens out in the end, I guess. Yeah.
Anyway, back to the album. Do you recommend it?
Oh, man. I was kind of back and forth, but yeah, I would. I think he's interesting to listen to. I think there's a few maybe that aren't up to my, you know, into my taste. But for the most part, I liked it.
Yeah, I recommend it. The best way I can explain this album is it's nice.
Yeah, I think he could have used a few more tracks. Yeah, he didn't have to do that Sunshine track for the whole length of it.
Right.
But just one or two more in there would probably worked out better. Like, I think if 100 Times was more of a rock song in itself, I would have seen it more as a single. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's nice. It's good background music, you know, but it's enjoyable. So I do recommend it. And that's it for Steve Rogers and the Rogers Family Quadrilogy. Until next time, when we'll be reviewing Spark by Hiromi, getting into some jazz. Well, fusion, I'll say. It's jazz piano. Amazing jazz classical pianist. Anthony Jackson on bass, who played on the Al DiMeola album we reviewed. Venerable. Nice. Classic, amazing bassist, and Simon Phillips on drums, who is, you know, played with a lot of rock bands. So it's interesting music.
Most interesting fact from this Rogers quadrilogy or trilogy, I can't remember how many we've done now. It was a quadrilogy, right? The firm,
right?
Was that the same guy that played drums on Radioactive? Mm-hmm. And AC/DC's Thunderstruck also might have played drums on Tom Jones's It's Not Unusual.
Yeah. and yeah, just to wrap up, apologies to Paul Rogers for picking The Firm. I remembered it being much better than it was. Should have went with some bad company.
Yeah, we're free.
Of course, until then, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you are.
There you are.